From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ollie. Welcome to Wednesday's programme. It is the 9th of October 2019. I'm, of course, Richie Allen. Hope you're well. It's been another pretty miserable old day. Regular soakings for us in Salford and Greater Manchester. Looking forward to this programme. You can tweet it right now, of course. It's at Richie Allen Show. That never changes. Tweet the programme and let me know what you're thinking about the things we're going to chat about over the next, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't know. I'm still working on the programme. Got a terrific and very important guest in hour one. And I'm hoping a guest will join me from California in the second hour. Big story brewing in California, of course. So I'm working hard on it. So I am as we speak. Good stuff. Nothing like producing a programme while it's live, eh? Yeah, eh. All righty. Let's get on with the programme.
Well, bring out the gimp.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, talked about the situation in Totnes, of course, in Devon on Monday, about how the rollout of 5G technology there has hit a bit of a snag down to or because of campaigners, including the leader of the campaign, John Kitson, who's been on this programme in the past. We're going to get John back on the programme today because this is very, very important. It really is. In fact, it's massively important. So what's happening down south with 5G, and is it a big boost for campaigners around the country who want to prevent the rollout of this technology in their own cities? John Kitson joins the programme. And it's a big story brewing in California about power cuts. And I'll talk about that in a monologue, and I'm hoping to get some commentary from California on that, because that's also a massive story as well. It's Wednesday's Richie Allen Show. I am Richie Allen. It is live on Fab Radio 2 in Greater Manchester right now. Triggerwarning.tv, TuneIn Radio, and bloody, bloody, bloody. You know it's on lots of different channels around the globe. Lots of different people taking the programme. Did you win the £170 million in the Euro Millions? Did you? It's funny how they make stories out of these things. It's been all over the place today. Somebody in the UK won the £170 million jackpot. Anyway, I can assure you it wasn't me. You'd have to have some balls, wouldn't you, if it was you, to come and do the programme today and act all cool about it. Imagine. Yeah, it wasn't me. Imagine it was me. And I'm like, yeah, it wasn't me. Anyway, let's talk about 5G. I'd be already over the Azores. I don't know if I would or not. Anyway, let's move on and talk about what everybody's talking about. Just a quick word on what's happening in Syria. The Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has been speaking in the last couple of hours and has said that the operation in Syria to create a safe zone cleared of Kurdish militias has begun. It's also planning, the mission also plans to house Syrian refugees. So it's underway there. Okay? According to the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces, civilian areas even have been bombed by Turkish planes. Turkish ground forces have mobilized on the border, but apparently they haven't done anything just yet. This offensive, of course, comes after the US President Donald Trump told us all that US troops would withdraw from northern Syria and that he would be bringing home US troops from all around the world. Now, the Kurds, and a lot of UK news networks have been saying this today, the Kurds are UK and US allies because they have been defeating the jihadist group Islamic State. So it's a really strange situation that Turkey, a NATO country, is attacking the ally of other NATO countries. There's a lot of horse manure being spewed on the national media about this situation. Stephen Lendman, I think, the Chicago journalist who was on with me last night, has got it bang on. Read him at stephenlendman.org. The United States is not withdrawing from the Middle East and elsewhere around the world. Okay? And it's funny to hear them talking about how the Kurds were fighting against Islamic State on behalf of the UK and the US, when you and I both know intelligence agencies of the US, Israel, the UK and France created Islamic State. This is not going away. And it's very strange. These are strange times. 8 minutes past the hour. So we'll leave that for now, right? Obviously, this programme has analysed, has reported on Syria for years, and I will continue to do so. What can I tell you today that Stephen Lendman didn't tell you yesterday? Very little. A Scottish court has delayed making a decision on whether it will sign a letter requesting even a Brexit extension if UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson refuses to do so. Did you get that? The Scottish court has announced today, we won't make a decision on whether we will sign a letter requesting an extension in the event the Prime Minister doesn't. So campaigners have been asking these Scottish judges to agree to enforce legislation passed by members of Parliament aimed at preventing a no deal. This is the Benn Act, which requires Johnson to ask for a delay if he hasn't gotten a deal by the 19th of October. Now, judges at the Court of Session said, well, we can't do that really until the political debate has played itself out. So they said, we will sit again on October 21st because things will be clearer at that point. Okay? A previous court opinion had said there was no doubt that the Prime Minister had agreed to abide by the law, but campaigners are saying Johnson could look to frustrate the legislation. Also today, it has been said that members of Parliament will be called back to the House of Commons for a special Saturday sitting in a decisive day for the future of Brexit. So Parliament will meet on Saturday, October 19th, and this is after the European Union summit, and it's going to be crucial. So the European summit will end on October 18th, and the day after, Parliament will come together and decide what to do next. No deal will be agreed between the government and the European Union. That's the smart money, anyway. And in the event of that, Johnson is supposed to write that letter of extension. So MPs are going to come together on Saturday, the 19th of October. Yeah, we're going nowhere. In the meantime, the European Union's Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier, was speaking in Brussels today, and he's pretty convinced now, is Barnier, that there won't really be any chance of a deal between the EU and the UK. Here's a brief snippet of what Barnier said.
Prime Minister Johnson acknowledges that regulatory alignment for goods is necessary between Northern Ireland and the EU. We agree on this point. But in order to resolve the issue of customs checks, the UK is simply proposing that together in the protocol in the international treaty that we will have between us, simply to take measures so that we avoid any kind of physical infrastructure or checks on the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland. Obviously, we also want to achieve this objective. This is one of the objectives of the backstop, to avoid having this border or this infrastructure on the border. But what we're being asked for in reality is to accept a system that hasn't been properly developed, that hasn't been tested. There'll be controls spread out across Ireland, and it will largely be based on exemptions and derogations on technology that has yet to be developed.
Okay, so nothing is going to happen and there won't be a deal. All of this, all very predictable. No need to dwell on it, I don't think. Is there? No, there's not. Thanks to those of you who said to me, you've been pretty speedy with the old Brexit news lately. Look, it's just collapsing in front of our eyes. But it isn't anything that I didn't foretell. It's just we're seeing it now implode. And well, Boris Johnson's father, Stanley, who's an octogenarian, looks well for it too, Stanley. He's been telling Extinction Rebellion protesters that their work is extremely important. Only a couple of days after his son called them uncooperative crusties. Stanley Johnson said, he's a former MP, by the way, just in case you don't know. He said the Prime Minister's remarks had been made in humour. An extra 500 police officers from across England and Wales are going to be sent to London to help police these climate change protests. So far, about 600 people have been arrested. In Trafalgar Square today, Stanley Johnson said, "I'm showing up here because I think what they, the XOR group, are doing is extremely important. From tiny acorns, big movements spring. We've been moving far too slowly on the climate change issue," he said. Little bit of fun before we move away from XOR, Extinction Rebellion, XOR. Before we move on from them, Skeena Rathore is one of the founders of Extinction Rebellion. Jesus, where did they get these names? Where did they get these names? In the name of all the saints and sinners and begrudgers. Where did they get these names? Skeena Rathore. Who the hell? Anyway, she is one of the founders of XOR. She was on with Piers Morgan, Susanna Reid and Charlotte, whatever her name is, on Good Morning Britain this morning. It got a bit fractious, so it did. Morgan was annoyed that the Extinction Rebellion protesters, well, some of them, let's be fair, went to McDonald's. They did, for a McMuffin, presumably. You'll hear a man called Mike Neville too. Think he's a former cop. He says lives could be lost. Here's Skeena Rathore on Good Morning Britain.
We got the McDonald's clip?
Yeah, you're being very selective.
Yes, I am. Yeah, so are you. There we are. Now, well, explain what that protester... How is that saving the planet, exactly? Queuing up from your protest and going to McDonald's, which is the number one purveyor of fast-processed beef in the world...
We're not talking about the real issue.
..and getting it out of a cardboard and carton box. How does that save the planet?
Here's, why should I not... That's not the issue.
Why should I look at that and think, what a bunch of rank hypocrites?
The issue is our children, my children... I have three daughters, and I am not sure... that I'm going to be able to feed my children in years to come.
Can I jump in?
Because I've got three daughters. Because of the fragility in our system.
Yeah. I've got four kids, and I've got to say, this frightening nonsense, you don't win any support by this frightening nonsense.
I invite you to meet our academics, our food academics, and our scientists.
I could meet a thousand scientists who tell me different things.
That are saying, credible people who are saying that our... society,
we're not
our systems are on the brink.
But Skeena,
because
Skeena,
they are fragile.
They're not actually saying that. And if Piers Morgan or his co-presenter, if they followed the news themselves, they'd know that scientists are not saying that if we don't reduce carbon to net zero by 2025, it'll be catastrophic in 12 years. They're not saying that. That is not what is being said by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. They're not predicting this. This is evangelical craziness. This is like you've got Christianity, right? Then you've got conservative Christianity. Oh, okay, we can deal with all of that. And then you've got kind of extreme Christianity. This is way beyond even that. So they should jump in there and say, hang on a second, the scientists are not saying that if we don't hit carbon neutral by 2025, we're all going to die, but it doesn't matter.
Brad, you talk about being outside the Home Office because you're concerned about security. There are 600 arrests by Metropolitan Police officers who should be involved in policing the
capital. Government are not listening. The public, it needs to be told the truth.
So you need to provoke
our first demand
the Metropolitan Police
is not being met.
Under so much pressure.
We
you need to provoke them in order to get
it's about
people
disrupting
to
business as usual. We need a pause in the business as usual in terms of all of our systems. And
how did you get here this
morning?
How did you get here this morning?
A pause.
How did you get here this morning?
To understand.
How did you get here?
Your car picked me up.
You're in a car. Okay.
Yes.
Have you got a TV at home?
Can you tell me the
Sorry,
point?
Sorry, hang on, just answer my questions.
Is.
Have you got a TV at home?
Because again, Piers, we're not talking about the real
I'm
issue.
I'm talking about it. Answer my questions.
I'd like to invite you
simply
to
answer,
come to our rebellion.
With respect, answer my question.
Piers.
Do you have a TV at home?
I don't think that's relevant.
Do your kids use iPads and computers? Yes or no?
It's not relevant to
Can you answer these questions?
It's not relevant to the planet.
Do you have
emergency.
Air conditioning? Do they have it in their schools?
Piers.
Do you walk your kids to school?
You and your children.
Do you see
and
the
my
problem
children?
With all this? You go on about my kids can't get out of bed because they're all so terrified. I'm not surprised they're terrified because your mum's telling them every day the what planet's about to end.
Jean Ann makes a good point there. The real scientists, of course, don't get a look in. They don't. Piers, Corbyn and others. But what's funny about this situation is let's say the compromised scientists, and they're not all compromised, but those who believe in man-made climate change as a real threat to the environment and a threat to the climate in the future, the ones who do believe in it, they do not agree with Extinction Rebellion. And Extinction Rebellion is not made up of scientists and pseudoscientists and academics. It isn't. It's made up of evangelical lunatics. I'm sorry to be categorising human beings as evangelical lunatics, but they are. It's as simple as that. And I know, how many other ways can I find of saying that? Not many. It gets worse. She isn't... look, she might be a moron, Skeena, Raythor or Rathor, but she probably means well. Piers Morgan, on the other hand, well, he's a piss-poor presenter. Have a listen.
Does your carbon footprint matter? Can you try answering one simple question?
Piers, but that,
seriously.
But it's not
seriously.
The real question.
Let me. It is my question. It's my show with Susanna and Charlotte. It's our show, literally. I'm asking you straightforward questions, none of which you're answering.
But with respect, Piers...
Do you believe your own... stop talking? Does your carbon footprint count?
I think you're talking more than I am, Piers.
Can you answer?
I am here.
Sorry, I'm really having a problem here. You're not answering a single question. Does your personal carbon footprint count, yes or no?
Everybody's what everybody does in this moment matters.
So it matters. So it
does matter. But what we need to do in this moment...
Can you stop talking for a moment, then?
No.
Imagine that. She answered the question. She says it does matter. And tried to... expand is a better word, of course, on what it is she's saying, but he won't give her a second. You see, what ITV has done with Piers Morgan is it's tried to outfox Fox News. They've looked at Sean Hannity. They've looked at Bill O'Reilly, who was fired by Fox a couple of years ago, and they've thought, that's the model. Let's get obnoxious, mouthy, objectionable, aggressive presenters in the morning. It'll shake up the nation. It'll be full of rows that are heated, and the audience will love that. It's like Jeremy Kyle, basically, but in the morning. And it isn't very good, really. And the reason it isn't very good is because we've seen it 1,000 times. Morgan probably thinks he's an original, but he's not. This isn't new.
But what we need to do in this moment...
Can you stop talking?
Can you stop talking? He asks the question, she answers it, and then just as she's answering it, he jumps in again.
Stop talking for a moment.
Can you simply... Why don't you let me answer the question, Piers?
Can you simply...
You're not letting me answer.
Answer any question. Let me try again.
You keep interrupting me.
Do you have a television?
I'm not here to
answer the question.
Because I'm not here to answer questions about my personal life.
You just said everyone's footprint counts, does it or not?
I can answer. Can you let me speak?
I can admit to having a television.
I can answer the question.
I have a television. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but you're not protesting about climate change.
Can I say, and all this happened...
I'm really frustrated here.
Skeena,
I can see your frustration.
Does everyone...
It doesn't get any better. It's pretty crap, really. At no time did they introduce the theme, the concept, as I talked about, to her that, well, the IPCC and all these scientists who believe in climate change, they don't agree with you that we're all screwed in 12 years or 10 years or whatever. Anyway, it's dreadful. I want to talk about this later on, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get a guest on it. And that's a shame because it's a big story. It's a big developing story in California. I know some of my listeners in the US are following this. A power company has started cutting electricity to around 800,000 homes, businesses and other locations in Northern California. Why? Because they want to attempt to prevent wildfires. 800,000 homes having their lecky, as we say here in the UK, their electricity cut around Northern California because they want to prevent wildfires. This is absolutely staggering to me, this. Large swathes of the San Francisco Bay Area, although not San Francisco City itself, large parts of the Bay Area will be affected. The region's utility company, Pacific Gas and Electric, or PG&E, has warned the shutdown could last for several days. The move has drawn anger from some residents. You think? Several days without electricity? With weather forecasts, I'm reading from the BBC, by the way, I should say that, my apologies. With weather forecasts predicting high winds, the move is intended to prevent the risk of fallen power lines igniting the kind of wildfires that have devastated large areas of California in previous years. Ray Reardon is director of the Office of Emergency Management in San Jose. He said in a press conference last night, he said, The conditions are ripe, dry fuel, high winds, warm event. Any spark can create a significant event. So the BBC goes on to talk about the big campfire in the town of Paradise last year, which we talked about quite extensively, which left 86 people dead and burned 150,000 acres. An investigation determined that poorly maintained PG&E equipment was to blame for the fire, the deadliest in California's history. Now, some very smart men and women, whom have been categorised as crazy conspiracy theorists by the mainstream media, but I don't see them. I'm thinking of Deborah Tavares and Alana Freeland and others who've been on this programme. They don't believe that poorly managed PG&E equipment led to the fires last year. And I don't believe that was the case either. I think something very sinister went on there last year. But they've said to people now, as a result of last year, we think we might have some fires, so in the meantime, we're going to cut off your electricity. Nearly a million homes for about 5 days. This is absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, this is dystopia. And very few people are talking about this outside of California and the implications for everybody else. People are apoplectic in California. A number of people have spoken to the BBC. Residents like Veronica Key, who says it's ridiculous. The company has been using its dividends by, you know, topping up the accounts of their stockholders and not managing their equipment. She might be right, but I'm not convinced it's poor equipment maintenance that is the result of, you know, is causing the fires effectively. I should say that again. I'm not convinced that poor maintenance of equipment is leading to the fires myself. And it's only because of the people I've spoken to. Massive story, and I left some time in the second hour. If I can get some comment, I've put a few irons in the fire, no pun intended, because I want to get some comment on this. It's amazing to me. Before we welcome back John Kitson to the programme, here's another very important issue. Hate crime and hate extremism. Jesus, this is crazy. According to a charity in the UK, disability hate crimes are on the rise. Assault, harassment, stalking and malicious communications are on the rise. Hate crimes against people with disabilities. United Response said there was more than 6,000 incidents reported in 2018-2019. That was a rise of 12% on the previous year. West Yorkshire Police and Greater Manchester Police have dealt with the largest number of complaints of hate crimes against people with disabilities. The learning disability charity United Response, whom I've just mentioned, they said these figures were deeply worrying. Now, an assault is a crime. Harassment is a crime. Stalking is a crime. And we have statutes to deal with them. But malicious communications, name-calling, should never be a crime. However feckin' heinous it is to be swearing at or calling names to people who are a bit less fortunate than us. I want you to hear an interesting interview, a little bit of one anyway. Joshua Reeves is a wheelchair-bound lad. He's a campaigner himself, and he's been subjected to abuse because of his disability. He's in Wales, and he spoke with Sky News' Sarah Jane Meath this morning. Joshua Reeves sounds like a nice lad. Here he is talking about being abused using Microsoft products, including games. Joshua Reeves.
Well, with my experience, it was mainly off online hate crime on the platforms of game consoles like the Xbox, like PlayStation, and you don't tend to think about that, really. This particular person joined our party, became more nice and lovely to me and my friends, and then one moment then he knew that I had a disability and he wanted to go on a private chat with me alone without my friends and using the words like spaz and cripple to offend me, and I felt very hurt about that. And it's nasty, and people are cruel, and it shouldn't be like that.
It is nasty, and it is cruel, and people shouldn't be like that. Whoever uses words like spaz and cripple, whether it's online or whether it's face-to-face, well, they're reprehensible, aren't they? You know, they're pond scum, basically. But you can't criminalise it. I'm tired of saying this. You can't. I understand the young lad. He's not a young lad in terms of he's not a boy. He's in his 20s, this chap. Obviously, you're going to be hurt and startled to be abused like that, but just block the guy. Laugh at him. Laugh at his idiocy and move on. You can't legislate for it. It's a shock in this. And God love Joshua Reeves. He thinks the state is looking out for him and wants to protect him. The state is using him and other minority groups of people. When I say minority groups, people with disabilities would be a minority because the vast majority of people are able-bodied, right? So they take another minority group, say you need to be protected, but they're actually using that as an instance to basically infringe upon open communication and free speech. Arsehole to call people spaz and spastic and cripples, but you've just got to ignore it. She asks him a question then.
Well, Josh, look, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. It's disgusting to hear. But do you think that this is on the increase because...
Wrong question. Again, the reporters, wrong question. You started off so well. Josh, I'm sorry, mate. What a dickhead that guy was. But listen, do we have to, should we be wasting police resources with this? Aren't you better off to ignore the fecker? But no.
So much of our social interaction now is online, whether it be through, as you said, the Xbox and games consoles or through social media.
Right, okay. What was his response to that?
Yeah, I totally think that with when it comes to online and social media, that people think that, all right, it's through a mirror, so people can't know exactly who they are. And obviously they think that they could get away with it much more. But it shouldn't be like that. And I think that law enforcers should actually look into it more.
Yeah, Joshua, when this happened to you, what did you do? Did you go to the police? Who did you tell?
I didn't tell my parents at the time because I felt quite embarrassed and I shouldn't be like that because obviously I felt quite weak, to be honest. And I wish that I told them. I told Microsoft. I filed a complaint to Microsoft from the Xbox and they didn't do nothing, really.
But they can't. What can they do? Millions of people are using their products and playing their games. And some absolute gombean, gobshite calls you a cripple. What do you want them to do about it? You know, I mean...
Really, they obviously just looked at my report and probably felt, all right, it's just a joke or whatever. People are having a laugh because people tend to you could call anyone on the Xbox and tend to get away with it. And it shouldn't be like that.
Because it's name calling, you know, that's what it is. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, you know. Obviously, that's not somebody worth the time of day, not worth your time, so delete them on your Microsoft account or whatever, play the games with somebody else, and chat with people who don't refer to people as cripples and spastics, I would say to young Joshua there. But he doesn't know, you see, what's going on and what's really behind all of this. Now, that's an interesting story, I think. Right, let's move on. This is very, very interesting and very, very serious. We have been talking about 5G, haven't we, you and me and guests, for I don't know how long now. This fifth generation mobile technology, which they began to roll out in several major UK cities in the last few months. It's the talk of, well, the independent media. It's the talk of men and women in countries all around the world. It's hugely important, right? So let's, what's going on here? What's going on? Right, okay, let me just close out there. I'm trying to connect with John there, and then there's another call coming in. Good stuff. Right, okay. Ah, yeah, I see what's happening. Right, okay. So let me read you this. I told you this on Monday anyway. I mentioned on Monday that we had a big deal in Totnes in Devon, and I was talking to Robin Kelly in New Zealand on Monday. But I did have a message from John Kitson, who we're going to talk to now in a second about this. And that is the story in the Mail, which has been picked up by The Telegraph and other newspapers here in the UK, that the push to roll out 5G technology in the UK has hit a bit of a hitch, a bit of a snag. And this is because of what's been going on in Totnes in Devon. And the papers go on to talk about how the connectivity is brilliant, it'll transform all of our lives. But in Totnes, campaigners have been saying that it is a serious health hazard, and they have persuaded local officials to declare a moratorium on installing the network. That is good news. It's very good news. The Mail quotes and, in fact, interview John Kitson, whom we're going to hear from in a minute. The decision is no force in planning law. We'll ask John about that, but it's still good news. John said the action by Totnes Town Council is a warning to ministers that they can't bring in 5G without further research into its effects on health. And they go on to talk about John and how he worked in the recruitment industry and how he's left that to become a full-time 5G campaigner to make people aware of what it is. It's very, very serious. Hey, John, it's always good to chat with you. Welcome back to the programme.
Thank you for having me back on, Richie.
That's great, mate. Thanks for letting me know about that on Monday. And I would have said to you, come on Monday, but Robin Kelly was going to be talking about 5G anyway. I read your article and I knew we'd get you on this week. This is bloody good news. What's happened exactly in Totnes? Tell us.
Right. Well, I started going to the town council meetings. Anybody can Google their local town council and just start attending the meetings. And I went with quite a number of people. We actually had an event down here. We had Mark Steele came down. I gave a talk. We've had a number of talks in the local area. And I was encouraging people to go to the town council. I turned up with about five or six people. We had a petition with over 1,000 signatures around the local area. And we said to the council, look, this technology, as Senator Blumenthal mentioned a number of months ago, there have been no tests to prove that 5G is safe. But what we actually have are thousands of peer-reviewed studies showing that it causes harm, not just to humans, but animals, the environment, and especially children. And children are our future. So we're asking at the very least to enact the precautionary principle, or even better, to have a moratorium. And it was at the second meeting where the mayor and several of the councillors were very much on board with the moratorium, and they decided on a moratorium.
Hey, this is great news. So when you were speaking to these people, you and Mark Steele, these officials, these politicians, they took you seriously. Did they express concern? Did any of them know anything about it, John, or was this the first time they were hearing about these concerns or what?
So the mayor was aware about it, but the other councillors, they didn't really know so much about it, really. So what I made sure to do is when I was delivering my speech to them, and I've put together a little template on my website, 5gawareness.com, on the download section. I was trying to educate them. And then there's a great documentary on YouTube, which people can see, and you've probably seen it, called The 5G Apocalypse. And you've got quite a number of doctors on there, scientists, you've got Mark on there, and it just breaks it down what 5G is all about. And it's got hundreds of thousands of views now. And the councillors were making a note of it, and I believe that several of them saw it. Mark wasn't there with me in the council meeting. We just did an event before the meeting, but I went there with local residents. And after they started to research it, we gave a copy of the 5G Space Appeal. Now, that's another core document that goes through all the issues relating to 5G, the various ways it's going to be rolled out, and all the health issues relating to it. And the councillors and mayor were on board.
Oh, this is great news. John Kitson is our guest. John has been in Totnes in Devon, and he's been speaking to the local authority there about the dangers of 5G. And the most important fact, if you forget the dangers for a second, the technology hasn't been tested. It's been rolled out and it's been inflicted on people in towns and cities. They haven't checked the human health impact of this. You got 1,000 signatures. That's an incredible success, that is, John. Well done. You did that by basically speaking to people yourself and taking part in open meetings. Is that how the signatures came about?
That's right. It included things like knocking on doors, setting up a market stall, having flyers there so we could speak to people, and then getting signatures at events, you know, just having a list that we would pass round, each person would sign it, you know, any opportunity we could get. In fact, we photocopied the template for the signatures so that other people could go around and get signatures from their friends. We started an online one. So we really just try to maximize the number of signatures we could get. And then, of course, if you go to those council meetings with all those hundreds or even thousands of signatures, you're basically, you know, much more able to win them over because you're saying, look, as a community, we don't want this technology. It's dangerous.
Brilliant. I do not want to put a dampener on proceedings, of course, but I've got to ask you, what does it mean that the council decision has no force in planning law? What does that mean, and what are the implications for you and for everybody else there?
Sure. Okay. So, yeah, in law, in a legal sense, the moratorium may not have an impact, but what it does do is it shows, it puts pressure on the councillors. And as more and more councils up and down the country, I mean, we had Glastonbury, we had Frome that announced that they're going to have the precautionary principle, and then moratoriums, it shows that councils and communities are unhappy and they're taking action. And then this can then put extra pressure on central government. And up until now, Richie, it's the only thing that I've seen that can work in terms of getting councillors on board. So I just think it's about that focus on energy and pressure and to keep the pressure up. But it's a declaration that people really don't want it in their local town. And then, you know, councillors, I mean, in Glastonbury, Chris Baker, he's got a team, he's got a group of councillors set up as a sort of opposition group. And I think if we can really get the councillors to be brave and say, do you know what, we're not going to allow this. People go into their district council, their county council, like we've had in Devon, we had a number of people challenge Devon County Council. And we had one of the councillors who was not honest about the telecommunications infrastructure getting rolled out. And I exposed that in the video that I did on the YouTube channel.
This is good, John. John Kitson is our guest. I'm guessing that when you're addressing these people, you're also talking about potential future liability, I'm guessing.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you know, Lloyd's of London have admitted that they don't insure against electromagnetic frequencies. And then it's important to, yeah, ask the council. I mean, what sort of insurance policy have they got? If they're allowing this to be rolled out, then they're liable. And I think that's really important to make them responsible. And in the council constitution, it's written that they have a duty of care to the public. And you have to remind them to exercise that duty of care. And that in order to do that, they have to do their utmost to prevent 5G from getting rolled out in the local area.
You've got a great approach, I think, and a great attitude. You're the right guy to be speaking to these people. Not to sound threatening or condescending, but it is important to say to people, look, your names will be known. You know, you're the councillors, you're the people making the decision. You don't want to be getting a knock on the door in 5 or 10 years' time saying, why didn't you do something about it? You know, why didn't you look into it? Now that, you know, maybe thousands of cases are being brought by people against the council for not protecting them. And you're the right guy, because there's a way to say that and, you know, and sound like a nice guy, and there's a way to say it and sound threatening or confrontational. I've never had an ounce of the diplomatic skills or an ounce of diplomacy in my body, John, so I couldn't do it. But it's very important. And for people listening to this around the country who will be absolutely given a real fillip by this, they'll be really boosted by this, remind them, how did you go about this step by step? So you're living in the Lake District now, or you're living in Liverpool, or you're living in Leeds, and you're thinking, brilliant, I'd like to do that. What did they do? Give them the step by step what they need to do.
Okay, so they've got to find out where their local town council is. So into Google, they can put their local town or city or area, and then council meetings. And they can go to the website. For me, I went to, I just literally Googled Totnes Town Council. It took me to the council website. I then clicked on council business. And then there was the meetings calendar. And I attended full council. So that's when all the councillors are there. And of course, before then, you can prepare a petition. So I've got the template on my website. So they can print it off, put in their local area, start gathering the names, bring that list of names to their local town council meetings, present it to the council, and then demand that the councillors, you know, quote the science. You know, I've got a template that I've also put together, which people can read out to their local town councillors, encouraging them to enact the precautionary principle and the moratorium, and mentioning the science and the health impact, and then especially mentioning the impact on children. You know, it's important to connect with people's hearts, you know, mention the kids, mention the effect on animals, on farms, and yeah, and then just really push for them to enact the precautionary principle, get the moratorium in place, and hand out exactly what you've said aloud, a copy of it to every councillor. So prepare photocopies before you go, and then keep attending those meetings. We attended two, and we got it done. You know, we gave copies of the space appeal. Other people gave copies of other articles. And you've just got to educate them. You know, you can email. Often the emails will be on the website of the councillors. You can send them a video. You can send them documentation through email. But obviously, if you're handing it to them in the meeting, they're probably more likely to look at it. And just be genuine about how upset you are. You know, we had a couple of people getting really quite emotional in the meeting. They could see that we were really concerned about stopping this technology.
Yeah, and children's skulls are not fully developed, and they're certainly more susceptible to these frequencies, these EMFs. That's absolutely a fact. It's irrefutable. John Kitson is our guest. When this broke on Monday, one of the digital ministers, a guy called Matt Warman, spoke with The Telegraph, and he said, You got a mention, of course. He said these mobile signals are no more dangerous than talcum powder and pickled vegetables, he said. And he said the government will... you'd expect that. And you will comment on that now in a second, because that's important. But he also said something then, and I don't know what to think of it or make of it. He said the government will support work to bust health myths over 5G. Now, that could mean anything. That could mean... like the old, you know, people who talk about vaccines online, they might be shut down. I wonder, does he mean that people like you and others who've been banging the drum about this technology, wireless technology, that maybe you guys need to disappear off the internet? I wonder, is that what he meant? But before we talk about that, I suppose to be the devil's advocate, these signals, no more dangerous than talcum powder and pickled vegetables, he said.
Right, well... unfortunately, the government often refer to a body called ICNIRP, the International Commission for Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection. And this body is only made up of about 14 individuals. It's a self-appointed body based in Germany. And they have no doctors. They don't have any experts in terms of the biological impact of electromagnetic radiation. And this is versus about 240 doctors and scientists, many with PhDs, who have got, many of whom have got a solid background in the study of this technology and of EMF radiation. So that they'll often refer to this, and Public Health England will do the same. And they're just largely ignorant on the topic, unfortunately. And of course, there's a lot, the industry, the telecommunications industry is a $1 trillion industry. So they've got no shortage of money to shower at politicians.
That's absolutely true. What you said about ICNIRP, it is a body that's basically made up of industry assets or, you know, this revolving door thing, people who formerly worked in the telecommunications industries. You're absolutely right to say that. John Kitson is our guest. We'll put links out, of course, where you can find these templates, because it's something you really should be doing. And while nothing is simple, ultimately, doing what John did is not going to take too much of your time to do it. And, you know, we saw what happened in Belgium. That reminds me, John, what is the story in Brussels? We know a few months ago the environment minister there said, listen, let's stop this trial because we don't want to turn people into guinea pigs. Is it still suspended in Brussels as far as we know? Because I can't find any info on it.
Right, that's a good question. I know there's a lot of opposition in Brussels, and I don't exactly know the current situation, just because I've been focusing a lot of my energy in the UK. But I know that recently there's been a debate in Italy about possibly the whole country coming out against 5G. I've got this from Chris Baker, who's connected with a number of people internationally. He got the precautionary principle enacted in Glastonbury. And I know that in Denmark, there are a group of Danes who are now taking legal action against the government. And of course, this is another avenue we can look at, legal action. And I'm in touch with a barrister who actually represented Mark Steele in court, and he's willing to take legal action. So if anybody wants to pursue that avenue as well, I mean, you know, we've got to look at multiple routes here. He's more than happy to do that, so I can put people in touch with him.
Really good.
But I think, yeah.
No, sorry, that's really good. And a number of people have been on to us. I should have thought of this. I'm a bit slow today. The talcum powder, referenced by Warman, the digital minister, is laughable, because Johnson & Johnson talcum powder, baby powder, has been listed as a possible carcinogen, ironically. I should have remembered that. We don't know about pickled vegetables. Maybe pickled vegetables are safe, but he shouldn't have mentioned. That was a faux pas to mention the Johnson & Johnson's. I want to talk about, you know, you might think this is a bit crazy. You might think that your area of research might not come into this category, but I think it does. Extremism. We know that the counter-extremism commissioner, Sara Khan, published a paper on Monday talking about hateful extremism, but there's a lot of subsets to this. There's a lot of subheadings. One of the things they keep talking about, the government, is the need to remove information online. That's just basically untrue, particularly if it's about medicine, science or technology. And I look at you, and I believe your cause is righteous. Not because I want to believe it, I believe it's righteous. And I think when Warman says something along the lines of, as he said to the Telegraph there, we will be spending money and supporting work to bust health myths over 5G, to me that says, well, we're going to try and make guys like you and others invisible. What do you think when you read lines like that?
I find it very concerning, Richie. And, you know, when they say, oh, they're going to use these, you know, websites and classify them as fake news and use these fact checkers, you've got to ask, you know, who's running those fact checkers, or who's providing the money behind those bodies? And I'm seeing increasingly, yeah, you know, like you mentioned on the vaccine front, there's a lot of censorship. If you question global warming, there's a lot of censorship. I mean, my video, The Truth About Extinction Rebellion, is now censored on the YouTube search. You have to just find it through my channel
you
now.
You are kidding me. Your video on Extinction Rebellion is being hidden on YouTube. That's disgusting. Yeah. I'm disgusted by that, because I'll tell you what, regardless of what you think about Extinction Rebellion or climate change, there is nothing wrong with your video, your film. It isn't sensational. It isn't aggressive. It isn't libelous. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm disgusted to hear that. I didn't know that now. We'll come back to that in a minute. This is where this censorship is going now. And they've kettled us, John. They've bloody kettled us. I've been saying this for years. They gave us Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and we all jumped on it. Lovely. There was an article in the Times today, John, you might have seen it, where GCHQ have said Facebook and Twitter have got more files on people than we do. Well, of course they bloody well do. And Google will be the same. We've got to do something about that, because the only place people can go now to get information about 5G, for example, that isn't stock government nonsense, or I should say industry nonsense, the only place to go is the internet, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, you know, they're not telling the truth. They're promoting it as, you know, the great technology on TV. We've got now a Facebook group, Stop 5G UK. It's got over 20,000 members. And, you know, we've got a lady, Kathy Dowd. She's been diligently helping to set up these local groups and put people into the local groups. But then, of course, we can't depend 100% on these platforms, because they may be taken down at some point. And this is why what I've done, I've set a forum up on my website, 5gawareness.com, just so that in case the social media groups do get taken down, people can go to the forum. I've broken it down by region. And also, we need to meet up with people in our local area, because if we see full-blown censorship across the board on the internet, then you're only going to be able to connect face to face. And it's really a race against time, Richie, because you've got Sajid Javid who's announced the extra £5 billion towards 5G. And I believe that's to obstruct the opposition towards 5G, because the government knows that we're gaining momentum. And with more and more of these moratoriums popping up everywhere, they're going to want to silence alternative opinion. You know, but this is do or die, Richie. We've absolutely got to stop it. We don't have a choice. And I just think we've really got to keep the momentum going, and we've really got to go at this 100%.
You're absolutely right. I've been listening to campaigners, and many of them academics, many of them doctors, about non-ionizing radiation for many, many years, going back to 2009. And they've all said the technology is harmful. They've said it's very harmful. Children shouldn't be anywhere near it. It shouldn't be in your trousers pocket. It shouldn't be in your breast pocket. It shouldn't be near your head. And this is before 5G. You're right, John. It is life and death. I can forget about impartiality. There's no point in me trying to be the devil's advocate. This is deadly. People need to do it. John Kitson is with me. 5gawareness.com. John just mentioned it. I've tweeted out a link to the website. I'm really gutted about the film, John. I didn't know that. And of course, if I had a producer and an editor, I would know it. But I didn't know that. That's lousy. Tell us about making that. And look, we'll talk about Extinction Rebellion. We're coming up to the top of the hour. I'm mindful for you. I've got all the time in the world. I don't know what you've got planned. But if you want to stay with me for another few minutes, let's talk about Extinction Rebellion.
Sure.
Because they've taken over London. They plan to be there for the best part of 2 weeks. They've been there now for a couple of days. It's causing a lot of hardship to people. To be fair to Sky, for all of Sky's blatant subjectivity and their blatant promotion of Extinction Rebellion, to their credit today, they did feature men and women whose businesses have been badly affected by this. The police are undermanned. They can't get rid of these people off the streets. I don't agree with bringing in the Territorial Army. I don't believe in violence. I think you've just got to enforce the law, but there are not enough police officers there to do it. They're apparently drafting in 500 from elsewhere in the country over the next day or two. That's going to leave police shortages in other parts of the country. That's not good either. Tell us about the film that you made, The Truth About Extinction Rebellion. And synopsize the film for our listeners, John, because when we say the truth about Extinction Rebellion, their ears prick up straight away. Oh, what is the truth? What is the central truth about this group?
Right. Well, basically, Richie, it's to bring in a control system. And Gail Bradbrook is the main founder of Extinction Rebellion. She's leading up the movement. And she's belonged to a charity called Citizens Online. You know, it's classified as a charity. We've got to question this. And a lot of the people on the board there, they're invested in 5G related technology. And she's attending conferences. You can go to her Facebook and have a look. She attended this COGEX tech conference. A lot of speakers on AI, artificial intelligence. She's interviewed artificial intelligence startups on her YouTube channel. But a lot of these people are invested in 5G. She's connected with a lot of people in telecoms. She's gone to meetings with people from the telecommunications industry for the BBC. She's been to Number 10. This is not someone who's a grassroots activist. And what they're saying is that we've got to get to zero net CO2. I mean, we as human beings are carbon-based. So what does that mean? I mean,
it's
an anti-life movement. And there's a lot of probably good people swept up in it who care about pollution. They care about, you know, the environment. But the problem is you've got to look at the bigger agenda here. Who's running it? And when you look at all the 5G related technology, the smart meters, the LED streetlights, the electric cars, all of it's being pitched as having a low carbon footprint. And they're using kids now to promote smart meters. You know, get a smart meter so I can breathe clean air. It's in the magazines, it's on TV. And this is what they've done in the past. You know, it's like during World War II, and that they've used children as propaganda machines, because of course, you know, kids like Greta Thunberg, oh, you're not allowed to question her. She's a young, innocent child. But actually, you know, you look at all the scientists and doctors that are questioning global warming. A lot of them are getting censored. Some of them are getting death threats. But this organization, it's fake green. So it's been used to distract. And we've had things happen, like in Bristol. We had a group of people who were concerned about 5G challenging the council. they gate crashed one of the council meetups. And then the same day, Extinction Rebellion had a massive demonstration, and only that was in the paper about Extinction Rebellion. So it's a state-sponsored, industry-sponsored disruption group that's basically here to bring in what's called the fourth industrial revolution and to push forward 5G. And of course, they get all the presence on the media. The police let them go absolutely everywhere. Doesn't happen with protesting against 5G, Richie. This Daily Mail article, this was a massive step, but we're not getting the penetration. And that's because we're a true grassroots movement. And this isn't the case with Extinction Rebellion. And that's why I had to make the video.
Yeah, it's just terrific. I've seen it, of course. And I have to say, you've nailed it, I think. It's also, of course, about heralding in, I think, full spectrum control over every aspect of our lives. I really do. There's a surveillance aspect to this as well. I know you talked about that as well. It's hard to watch that. It's hard to watch the protesters. And thanks for saying many of them are genuine. They are genuine. They don't know any better. Doesn't make them bad people. Doesn't make them stupid either. It just means they've been caught up in it and they believe it. Some of those women talking about their children while they're holding their children, they're not all rent-a-crowd paid actresses. Many of them do believe this stuff. It's religious mania of a different type. I've tried to get into this on the programme in recent days. And you're right. If you and I tomorrow, if we got everybody that we know in the media, whether mainstream or independent, and if we all put our weight behind a massive protest in London to protest against the sales of arms to Saudi Arabia, which have resulted in a genocide in Yemen, that's a real concern. That's a real issue. Do you think we'd be allowed to block up all routes into Westminster? I think we'd be water cannoned off the streets, John. What do you think?
Oh, totally. Yeah, of course we would. It's not in their interests. I mean, and another thing with this control system that's coming in, there was a very interesting talk by David Dubine. He'd be a great guy to have on your show. And he talks about the grand solar minimum.
Yeah.
And cold weather crop losses. And this is what we're actually heading into is a cooling period, and we're going to see a drop in food production. And of course, when people get hungry, they get out of control. And this is just one of the reasons why they're bringing through this control system. But yeah, of course, we'll always be told the opposite of what's actually coming. And of course, people are putting solar panels on their roofs thinking that we're going to have more and more sun.
And they're not.
No, exactly. Plus, they give off dirty electricity.
You mentioned the solar minimum. Professor Valentina Zharkova was on the program. And I've got to remind our listeners, Valentina is not, I hope it's Valentina Zharkova, it's Professor Zharkova anyway. She's not a climatologist or a geologist. She's a genius mathematician. And she figured out herself through mathematical models that have been peer-reviewed that what you described, the grand solar minimum, is going to happen. It's basically guaranteed. And yet we get all of this stuff about this warming that we're going to experience. And as you, I'm so glad you mentioned this drive towards solar panels. They're selling this crap to people. Do you know they're even selling solar panels to pension funds and stuff, John? They're destroying people. This is the thing. Do you know what just occurred to me? They're getting pension funds. And God love people who've worked all their lives. They don't realise that their pension money is tied up in things like, companies that make solar panels. I could name a few of them, or companies that invest in them. And they're just going to be obsolete. They're going to be useless in the next few years. Wow, yeah. This is mad stuff, this.
That's it.
And people are completely oblivious. Talk to me briefly about smart meters, because you brought them up. I understand that if customers are contacted by the big energy companies, and those customers say, thanks very much, but no thanks, that should be the end of it. But I understand that some of the big energy companies are proper blackguards, as we say in Ireland, and they're almost telling people now that they do have to have them, that it's a government thing. If they're doing that, it's absolutely shocking if they are doing it. People don't have to have them, John. They're entitled to say no, right?
Of course they are. There's no legal obligation whatsoever. We actually, a lady who I know in Torquay, she had an energy company call up and, say, oh, look, you've got to have one of these smart meters. And they ended up installing it. And I think she was not aware of it. And then she called them and she said, right, I want this removed right away. And they said, oh, we can't do that. And she said, well, if you don't, I'll physically remove it myself. And they said, oh, well, you'll be committing an illegal act. And she said, okay, for every day that's on my property, because it's your property, it's not my property, it's on my property, I'm going to fine you about several thousand pounds a day. And then literally the day later, someone from their legal department got back in touch with her and arranged the removal of it.
Well done, well done. You see, I moved into a new house. We took a mortgage out on a house and we're in the house now. And when we moved in, there's a smart meter. There is a smart meter here, but it's not operational. At least we're 99% certain it isn't. Because when we moved in, we dismissed the previous company and we did a deal with a new power company. So, and we said to them, get rid of the smart meter. We don't want it. And they said it isn't pulsing, they said. It's just taking a reading. And as far as I understand, that is true. But I'm still not having it anyway. I'm going to get rid of it anyway and get the old dial meter back in because I just don't trust it, you know, because it's there. What a terrible thing that is, pulsing out there with young children around. Let me ask you this, John, before I let you go, mate. Thanks for giving us so much of your time today. Let me mention a couple of comments as well. Diane, who's a friend of the show's, Diane is in West Waterford in Ireland. She's a friend of ours, is Diane. And she says, as you know, Richie, I'm an electronic engineer. I've reviewed even the work of people like Barry Troer, and I have concluded that 3 and 4G are a serious risk. Can you imagine 5G then? I refuse to own a cell phone, and our internet is all on Category 5 cable. The risks of microwaves are huge. I'm so ignorant, I don't know what Category 5 cable is, but I'm sure it's very thick cable to prevent any leaks of the non-ionising radiation. Thanks for that, Diane. I really appreciate that. But you know what, John, you know, and again, I don't like to be one of these mood killers because it's very exciting what you've achieved in Totnes and please God, what will be achieved around the country. But so many people, when you bring this up, they still think that we're a bunch of tinfoil hat wearers, don't they? They think, because they can't see it, John. Do you think that's the thing? Because they can't see this in the air. I wish we could figure a way out to show them in the air this stuff flowing around our bloody heads. But so many people still think, look, sure, if it was bad, sure, they would have banned it. Or sure, the government would have done something about it. And sure, can't I download a film to my phone now in 5 minutes? We need to work hard here, don't we? And people like you, I mean, I'm supposed to be a bloody journalist, but you need to work harder and harder to convince people your health is at risk, your children are at risk. You need to do something about it.
Yeah, we do. I mean, the best advice I can give to people is just to keep it really simple, you know. And I mean, there's a video on the videos page, 5G in 5 minutes. So if someone's very busy, they can show them that. But just take the all the scientific studies like the space appeal, hand that out to people. You can go around with a little folder, you know, and just have lots of articles inside. And then if someone questions you or say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, you can just show it to them. But what Professor Martin Powell mentioned recently at the 5G summit is very important. He's Professor Emeritus of Biochemistry at Washington State University. And he stated that what we know from human and animal studies, we probably have 5 to 7 years until our collective brain function will crash based on our current exposure. So that's without 5G. But with 5G, he's given us between 4 to 6 months.
Jesus Christ.
And I'd just like to add, if that's okay, you know, if anyone wants to do a 5G event or they're having a doctor to speak or anything like that, please get in touch with me. I'll put it up on the events page on my site. We've got events through October and November coming up in Swansea, Cardiff, East Sussex, Shropshire, Worthing, Cheshire. And we've got the guy I mentioned earlier, David Dubine from Adapt 2030. And it's going to be called How to Survive and Thrive During the Grand Solar Minimum. Tuesday, October the 29th at Totnes Methodist Church Hall, 7 p.m. So I'll be putting that up on the site as well.
Fantastic. Do connect me with David, won't you? And I'll invite him on the programme. Thanks
for the suggestion.
I'll be
happy to. I'll do that. Yep.
We've been speaking with John Kitson, and John and his fellow campaigners, managed to bring about a moratorium on the installation of 5G in Totnes. They got together and persuaded local officials there to rethink this technology. That's a fantastic achievement. That's the way to leave this. And it says to you, wherever you are in the UK, whether it's in England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, or Ireland itself, you can do it if you've got the get up and go, get up off your backsides and go and do it. All the information is at 5gawareness.com. Remember, 5gawareness.com. Tweet out John's website all over Twitter and find him on Facebook as well. Well done, John. Cheers, mate. I'm really proud. Well done.
Thank you, Richie. Appreciate it.
Fantastic. Bye for now. Great guy, John Kitson there, live on the line to us. How impressive is that? You see, when you go to these people and you say, hey, look, this is deadly serious, right? And then you say, listen, you don't want to be on the hook for this in 15 years, do you? What do you mean? Well, Mayor Chalmers or Mayor Smith or Mayor Roberts, you have a duty of care to the people of the town. And in a few years' time, when we realise that this is, has adversely affected thousands of people, it's going to be on the record that you didn't do anything about it. So come on. And you've got to be very diplomatic when you're dealing with these people. I've never had a diplomatic bone in my body. Don't send me in. It's not because I'm a tough guy or anything. I'm not a tough guy, but I've never been very patient with people. I love people who are. Caroline, the oft-mentioned, amazing at dealing with people and cajoling people and getting around to doing things. I've never had that skill. Anyway, sure, you can't have everything. I don't have everything either. Be Jesus. Alrighty, it's coming up for 9 minutes past the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show, by the way. Here's Stevie Wonder back with more in a minute. Lovely. Stevie Wonder, signed, sealed, delivered on the Richie Allen Show, Wednesday's programme, the 9th of October 2019. I have failed you, my master. I failed you. I wanted to get some comment on California. I'll endeavour to do that tomorrow. I know that tomorrow is meant to be the phone-in day. Tell you what we'll do, because that's a big story, and because Chris Busby is going to come on the radio show tomorrow, not to talk about 5G, not to talk about non-ionising radiation, but to talk, this is the amazing Dr. Chris Busby. He'll be on with me tomorrow to discuss the financial control system, and you don't want to miss that, by the way. He'll be on with me tomorrow, Chris. I might try and get some comment on this shutdown, this basic blackout for nearly a million homes in California. I'll try and do that. So we'll see how it goes tomorrow, because it's a big story, right? And it has, implications worldwide, I think. You know, they try it in certain places, and if it succeeds, well, we'll try it in Ireland, we'll try it in Europe, you know? Hi to Buster Friendly. How you doing, Buster Friendly? Who says, talc is made from crushed rocks. The rocks can and do contain asbestos. So Johnson & Johnson's neglected to remove the asbestos, as I understand it, says Buster Friendly. I think you've got it spot on there. Hole in one, I think. Hi to Charlie Girl. How you doing, Charlie? Paul says, my wife took a call from her energy provider. They told her the smart meter was compulsory and she booked the installation. I told her to call them back and tell them that we weren't having it, and they cancelled with no questions asked, says Paul. Good, Paul. They did the right thing. That's what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to try and persuade you. Anyway, what we're going to do now is take some news headlines. Are we? Yeah, we're going to take some news headlines. See what's going on. Something might have happened, in the time that we're on air. Because I don't have anybody running around to say, hey, Richie, stuff has gone down there. I've not been reading the wires while I've been speaking with John Kitson. So it's over to FSN. Let's see what's been happening. Back with more in 30 seconds. Hopefully. That's what's meant to happen. Has it frozen?
Yeah, it's this anonymity. And as you said, it's not a joke. If you're not laughing, it is most definitely...
I don't know what's going on. Let's try that again.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. Turkey says it has begun a military operation in northern Syria. German police say two people have been killed in a shooting by a synagogue in the city of Halle. Some UK cabinet ministers have expressed concern about a possible endorsement of no deal as official policy by Boris Johnson. And Russia's anti-corruption foundation has been blacklisted by the Justice Ministry as a so-called foreign agent.
Yeah, we got there in the end. Thanks, Ollie. 14 minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show. Back with more of your comments on Twitter and a little story about mental health. Looks like we'll go till about 1:30 the hour today or thereabouts. Shame we couldn't get any commentary from California. But anyway, look, that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. I'll be back with you in about 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Richie Allen.
Welcome back to your Richie Allen Show. Thanks for all the tweets that came in there when I was speaking with John. I really appreciate them. You know by now, I think you know by now anyway, how to see what people are tweeting me. It's very simple. You just go to twitter.com, search Twitter, where it says search Twitter, input Richie Allen Show with no spaces, all one word. If you press enter, you'll see what people even have been tweeting to me. 5gawareness.com, Mimi, who wants to know John Kitson's web address, 5gawareness.com is the address. Hi to Dean Smith. Thanks for supporting the radio show, Dean. I really appreciate it, my friend. Richie, I believe 5G will be stopped. It's too visible and obvious. Need ND2 new. What's wrong with me? I'm all over the place. Whereas the mandating, oh, it's too new. Whereas the mandating of vaccines will not be. There are too many people supporting it. That's way more frightening for me. The mandating of vaccines is more worrying for Dean at the moment, he says, because he believes that 5G will be stopped. Well, I hope you're right about 5G. As for the mandating of vaccines, I do believe you're right. I think it's inevitable. I really do. Hi to Susan at Ruby Dragon 1. How you doing, Susan? Yeah, it is very good news what John Kitson and his pals achieved in Totnes, the moratorium. It needs to happen elsewhere in the country as well. 5gawareness.com is where you'll find out exactly how they did it and what you need to do. Hi to Joe Public. Thanks for your tweet, Joe, to Ian McKee as well, and to everybody else who tweeted the programme earlier on. Okay. Okay. Hi to Gary LFC. How you doing, Gary? He's tweeted a link there to an article about Extinction Rebellion. I've just retweeted it. You know the way mental health awareness is always on the telly? And I've been telling you about this for a long time, is that it's always on the telly. Every time you switch a news programme on, you'll get some news about this, about that, bit of weather, bit of sport, bit of news about Extinction Rebellion, bit of Brexit, and then inevitably somebody will talk about mental health. And in fact, we joked, didn't we, the other day, because Sky News presenter Isabel Webster basically admitted it. We're always talking about mental health.
And it's an issue we talk about almost daily, if not weekly, here at Sky News.
Yeah, and I haven't just picked that clip out. She's not talking there about the weather. She's talking about mental health, right? And she was speaking to a woman called Kada. Can't remember her surname, Kada Fanbulla, maybe, about mental health. So they do talk about it non-stop. And increasingly, they bring celebrities into the studio to talk about their mental health. And it happened again this morning. Sky News spoke about mental health again this morning. It never ends, this, right? And other news organisations showed some video today of the pop singer Ed Sheeran going to meet with Prince Harry Hewitt to talk about mental health. What is going on, people? You know, I mean, this is unbelievable. This is everywhere. So this morning on Sky News, you had Sarah Jane Mee, and she met with a celebrity, and I say that loosely, because he's the drummer for the rock band McFly. Now, there's only two bands, maybe three, maybe four in history where you can name the drummer, right? Five. The Eagles, Don Henley. U2, Larry Mullen Jr. The Stones, Charlie Watts. The Beatles, Ringo. Who am I forgetting? Iron Maiden, Nico McBrain. Is that right? Jesus wept. John Bonham. John Bonham, Led Zeppelin. And I suppose The Who, the crazy Keith Moon, right? Right, so there's more then. But these days, you've got to be a super group for people to be able to name the drummer. So they brought McFly's drummer in. Here is Sarah Jane Me. And it's all about depression again.
I'm going to talk about mental health now. And
you're not serious. That's what I said this morning. You're what? You're going to talk about mental health for a change, are you? Are you for a change? Like, here we go.
I'm going to talk about mental health now, and there are many suggested ways of treating and supporting people who are dealing with some form of mental illness. Therapy and drugs, commonly used. But what about music? What about drumming, for example? And somebody who knows a thing or two about that is the drummer from McFly. He is Harry Judd, and he says drumming is what helped him deal with depression and anxiety. Hello, Harry.
Hello, good morning.
Now, drumming music, how does it help you? What's your personal experience?
Well, there's been many things that have helped me in the past deal with anxiety. That's the particular kind of thing I suffered with.
Now, you are listening to a 24-hour news channel. It's a channel that purports, do you like that word, purports to tell you what's been happening around the world. But now, she says, let's talk about mental health. She should have said, again. This isn't news. The guy who drums for McFly, whoever he is, apparently had some anxiety issues. Right. I'm not laughing now. If Robin Kelly is listening, they'll be murdered. I'm not laughing. I do accept that I need to rethink my giggling at young people and anxiety. I need to stop. And I'm not taking the piss now. I need to be more circumspect about that. I accept it. Anyway, but that's not a news story. Somebody somewhere is investing an extraordinary amount of money and time to, I'm going to come out and say it, to brainwash you, to program you to think about mental health. Really. Stuart Copeland from the police says Faisal. Roger Taylor from Queen says Sean. And John Coughlin from Status Quo. You're not getting that one. You're not having John Coughlin from Status Quo. Rick Parford, Francis Rossi, that's about the size of it. Nobody knows John Coughlin. Don't give me that shite now, Sean. Roger Taylor from Queen, I'll give you that. I'll definitely. And Nirvana, drummer Dave Grohl, of course, who went on to form Foo Fighters. Of course, he deserves a mention as well. But somebody has invested a lot of time and effort into telling you that you've got mental health problems. It was a kind of unbelievable for me. Yesterday or the day before, I think it was yesterday, to hear television presenters saying very explicitly that a survey has shown that 80% of us have dealt with or are dealing with some sort of mental health issue. Somebody is spending a lot of time to convince you that you're not well. Who would want to do that? It's often, I think of over the years, I think of when a man is being abusive to his woman. And there are many ways that a man can be abusive. But you often see one type of abuse, of course, is being unfaithful. It's not just violence. One form of abuse is being unfaithful. You know, sleeping around. And you often seen over the years, and I saw it in my own home, actually, where the cheater is caught and is confronted by the person who has been cheated on. And the cheater says, the man usually says, you're crazy, you're mad, it's all in your mind, you're crazy, you're crazy. Often, psychological abuse is perpetrated on people by others who tell people regularly, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. So the establishment is trying to tell us, you and me and everybody else, that there's something wrong with us. And it's doing it non-stop now. And it has been for a couple of years. And I wonder, I suppose some of my past guests would say that this segues into one overall overarching agenda. Just as I say that, fireworks are going off outside the studio. Nearly scared the bejesus out of me there for a minute. It's that time, of course, isn't it? The supermarkets are selling the bangers and the fireworks to the fucking idiots who buy them. And animals will be terrified now for the next 10 weeks, I suppose. But yeah, think about that going forward. These mental health interventions by the state using celebrities to talk about it non-stop. Mark tweets, Big Pharma pushes all manner of poisons. Whenever I took a pharma drug suggested by a doctor, my condition worsened. Talking therapy is best for genuine sufferers. Talking therapy, of course, yeah, for issues of depression and anxiety, I would agree. Paul says, Paul Cook from the Sex Pistols, maybe. And Mark also said, Mick Avery from the Kinks being famous drummers. Yeah, okay. All right. But you can't name too many drummers. I'm going to love you and leave you now. We're approaching half past the hour. 90-minute show today, not 2 hours. You live, you live, you live. We've had a very extensive morning shows, of course, as well. The newspaper review programmes. I'll definitely have Dr. Chris Busby tomorrow. Now, we can do the phone-in show because it is the second Thursday. But I might get some commentary on what's happening in California because it's so important. If I don't, or if I do, we will do the phone-in show on Monday. How about that? What do you think? Don't be complaining. And then we'll go back to every second Thursday. Now, before we go, I made an appeal last night for funding on the programme. What I did was I asked people who have the means but who have ignored or have chosen not to donate before, I've asked them to get involved. And I explained why, because the programme doesn't bring in very much money. In fact, I said last night, I was very honest, I said it brings in about £1,700 a month, which, you know, for many individual programmes, I suppose, would be a lot of money, but it isn't. It's nothing. Because when we pay out everything we have to pay out to keep the programme on air, it leaves me with very little, just over £10,000 a year. Which is not good, right? And I talked about this last night. If you want to hear it, it's on the podcast. A lot of people made contributions overnight to the programme. And I want to thank you very much. Those of you who did, a lot of people did. And I will get around, bear with me, to thanking you individually. And a lot of people set up recurring donations. And that's what I would like people to do. A couple of quid, you know, here and there. But there were some very significant donations made overnight. A couple of listeners to the programme donated several £100 individually, which I definitely did not ask for, but I'm thrilled by. I'm absolutely thrilled by that generosity, and I will be in touch with people to thank them profusely for that. It means the world to me. It really does. You know, ideally, if we brought in about £2,500 or £2,800 a month, that would be ideal if I could do that. But we'll see how it goes. But thanks to everybody who listened to that last night and who said, yes, Richie, you're right, because I never ask. And you know I don't. I've never been a beggar. I've never gone on the air demanding money. I've not been, and you know, I hate the truth or industrial complex. You know that I hate it. And these people and who they are. I've never been like that. But the programme is a 6-day-a-week job, full time. And you know, I need to be compensated for doing it. And I haven't been for a long time. So thanks to everybody today and last night who came forward. I really appreciate it more than you'll ever know. And that's all I can say, really. At some stage in the future, you'll get an email from me. And if you don't, well, just drop me a line and I'll have a chat with you about it. But thank you. Thank you very much. All right. I really appreciate that. So Dr. Chris Busby on the show tomorrow. Excuse me. Possibly the phone in, possibly not. We'll see how we get on. A big shout out to John Kitson tonight, 5gawareness.com, and congratulations to him and all his team. Okay? Congratulations to him and all his team. And if you want to throw a spanner in the works of 5G rollout, well, he's got the blueprint for you. Wherever you happen to be in the UK, go and check him out, 5gawareness.com. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 9:30 on YouTube for the newspaper review show. I look forward to that. Jesus Christ, Richie. Holy Jesus. I just played that. I'm well aware of it. Right, okay. We'll close out with a bit of Take That. Love this song. Thanks for coming through for the programme. Okay? Really appreciate it. And speak to you tomorrow. Thanks again to John. Thanks to you for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Bye for now. Bye now.